All right, how's it going today?
Good.
Good. Okay, we're moving up toward Buffalo.
Wondering, when you guys picked up Don Jones, it was sort of under the radar, kind of moved to us, I guess, but how has he contributed to special teams? Seems like he's had a big role there for you guys.
Yeah, it sure has. You know, I think he's a good compliment to Slate, you know, just as a second gunner, as a second, you know, type of penetrator on the kickoff team, that kind of type of thing. So he's, I think he's given us some balance, you know, with what Matt gives us. Similar type position, but, you know, different, it's, you know, a second guy instead of just one.
Did you get a chance to, I guess how familiar were you with him before?
Well, Miami last year. I mean, I'd say that, and watching him in preseason. You know, I'd say that going against Miami, he's definitely was a guy you have to game plan for. You know, I mean, there's some guys in the kicking game you've got to – I mean, everybody's got to block somebody, but there's some guys you just got to account for that are kind of mismatched guys. And, you know, he was definitely a guy that we – did game plan for, and we're planning on game planning for against Miami, even though we knew he wasn't going to play in that game. But had he played, you know, that we would have had to do that. And so, you know, we just felt like he had that, you know, had that kind of ability to impact the kicking game. So I put obviously Slater in that category too. I mean, I think, you know, each week you see how teams are going to handle him. Now there's another guy they have to deal with. So.
Bill, speaking of special teams, when you lose a guy like Nate Ebner but have a Patrick Chung who can go in and be, I guess, the quarterback and the punt unit or as a personal protector, what are the qualities that it takes to replace a guy like Ebner in that position, and how valuable is someone like Patrick who's done it before?
Well, it's really valuable. You're right. That's the quarterback of that team. It's a really important position, and there's so many different looks that you, as a punt team, that you have to deal with. You know, how many guys they have in the box, the potential of the corners coming in off the gunners, you know, getting the protection right, and then there's the whole coverage aspect of it as well. And Pat's done that before. He's done a really good job of it. We've been fortunate here that we've had multiple guys do that for us over the past few years, and we've been able to, when we've had a situation like that, you know, last year was Steve Gregory, but, you know, Chung, but, you know, guys that can do that, that's really been, you know, valuable for us, and Pat's done a good job, and he's very good in coverage, so he, you know, gives us not only a good protector and a smart guy who can handle all that, but also gives us a good coverage player, which, you know, you can never have too many of those on the punt team, so it's good. He's done a good job. I mean, Nate's done a really good job for us there, too. You know, he's been in a lot of big plays for us over the last couple of years from that position. But, you know, Pat filled in for him well last week.
Bill, how would you characterize Brandon Browner's ability to pick up the defense, your defense?
Good.
When you make, you know, the decision to hold him out last week, not activate him, you had the extra day there to do that. How much of that was more just physical, give him more time to get up to speed physically versus maybe comfort level in terms of that he'd be able to execute the plan?
Yeah, I don't think the learning part is any issue at all. Hasn't been since he's been here.
Specific to the Bills, what they were doing offensively with Orton last week, much different than Manuel in terms of like the way they did I formation versus, you know, split backs. I mean, could you elaborate on
some differences? Some differences. I mean, more drop back passing game, a little different running game. Although, you know, Doug's had that running game as part of his offense. It isn't, I mean, I doubt that they, I mean, they weren't sitting up there drawing up new plays. They just, I think, ran them with more frequency. Orton under center a little bit more on early downs. But certainly more drop back passing. And, you know, I think Orton did a good job spreading the ball around. He got the ball to, you know, his backs, his tight ends, his receivers, you know, reading coverages and working different combination parts of the pattern. He did a good job of that. Got the ball out quickly.
Manuel, they ran some zone read. Do you have to balance preparation in the event that there could always be a change of quarterback at some
point? No, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, any one play, you know, anybody out there could get a sprained ankle or something, and the other guy's in there. So we have to prepare for all the guys that are on the roster. Certainly Manuel's. We've got to prepare for him too. Whether they use him by choice or could be out of necessity, but you know he certainly made a lot of good plays for him. You know, it's productive in the opportunities he got to play this year. You know, Orton has been too. I'm sure they feel like they have two guys at that position that they can win with because they have one with them. And we definitely have to be ready for him.
Defensively, Bill, how did their defense change, if at all, without Kyle Williams this past week?
I don't think the X's and O's changed too much. I mean, they did run a little bit of three-man line in passing situations against Detroit. Whether they've done that with Kyle or not, I don't know. But they, they put Darius on the nose, and they still play their nickel or dime concept, but they just had an extra linebacker in the game as opposed to a four-man rush and, you know, Not another guy off the ball. So, I'd say that was one kind of scheme change. They probably ran that, you know, four or five times in the game. It wasn't a lot. I mean, you know, it's third down call. Otherwise, I would say not a whole lot of changes.
Has Darius,
he's been a good player since he's been in the league, but it seems like this year maybe he's even been a little bit more productive. What have you seen?
Yeah, I agree. I mean, he's our guy to block. He's strong, quick. He's got good instincts. You know, he reads blocks well. Does a good job attacking. The leverage, does a good job in the pass rush of, you know, beating based on how the guard or how he gets set. I mean, he had a big play against Detroit where the center slid to him and he split the double team. You know, which you don't see that a lot, but you know he's got the quickness and the strength to do that. So. Runs games well. They run a lot of games, and he does a good job of that, as does Kyle Williams. You know, they have that kind of penetrating quickness that makes those games effective, and also the athleticism to, you know, come around and contain a quarterback if the end goes first or if they're running a inside tackle game. So I agree. I think he's been good, and he's been even more productive this year. He's playing high level in the running game, too. He's hard guy to block. I mean, he's strong, uses his hands well, he reacts well to blocking schemes.
You mentioned the other day that they played their ends pretty wide. Is there anything to the fact that they're trying to funnel plays almost into those two guys in the middle there? Is that?
That's totally what it is. I mean, it's the same thing that we saw at Tennessee, same thing we saw at Detroit with Jim. I mean, you know, going back to Van and Bosch and change the names, but it's the same type of scheme and players. So, yeah, they definitely, you know, do that. They like to play the ends out wide. Now, they'll pinch them in, to keep you honest. They don't do it every play. But, they get the ends out there wide, pinch them into those tackles, and they have, you know, three guys inside, whether it's three linebackers or when they're in nickel, sometimes it's two linebackers and a safety, you know, that – so they definitely try to funnel that. They're a really hard team, you know, to get outside on. They don't give up many outside plays. Jim never has, you know, that you have to – it's just hard to get outside those guys. They're wide, and plus they're big and they're athletic. So that's definitely, you know, what they think the foundation of that defense, set the edge with the ends, and then, like you said, force the ball inside. It's definitely what they're trying to do.
They seem to run the ball a lot out of the shotgun. Is that advantageous to them because of the type of backs they have, or is that just a scheme thing?
I'd say it's a scheme thing. I mean, these backs make yards, you know, wherever you give it to them. But, I mean, a lot of teams in the league are doing that.
What are some of the challenges that presents to a defense?
Um, Well, I mean, every run and play presents some challenge, you know, however it's designed. And they have a lot of different plays. They don't just have one. So, you know, reading the blocking schemes, the backs are, you know, their backs are good. They have the ability to make guys miss and get outside. They have the speed to get outside, especially Spiller. They have the ability to make guys miss. They have good vision. You know, Spiller runs, plays strong for a smaller guy. Jackson, we know, is, you know, a strong, powerful runner. He's got great lower body strength, runs over a lot of tacklers, but he has good quickness as well. So, you know, I don't think there's anything magical about him. You still got to block him, and you still got to run, but they have a good complementary scheme. They go inside, they go outside, they have counter plays, they use them in the passing game. So, you know, it's just the way they decide to do it.
Well, you've always complimented the Bills for their special teams, their kicking game. It seems like through the years that's one trait, no matter who's in charge of the team, they've always had. Carpenter seems to be continuing in that with the kick last week.
He's kicked well for them, yep. You know, they have four specialists, which is a little unusual, but they, you know, they're like, I don't know, 80% touchbacks on kickoffs, something like that. You know, Carpenter's done a good job for them. And, you know, their coverage teams have been good. And the return game is explosive with Spiller and McKelvin. So, but even going back to last year, the return game with, you know, whether it's Goodwin or McKelvin, it seemed like whoever they use back there, they always, like you said, they always get production out of somebody, whether it's, I mean, go all the way back to the last 15 years, you know, they've always had good returns, good return game.
Vision. In terms of their running backs, they have pretty good vision, and that was very something good. I think that we noticed from both Steven and Shane in some of their big runs. We said, you know, looks like they had pretty good vision on that play to make a cut, however they did it. But it seems like it's sort of an interesting quality in that, you know, it's not just eyesight. You know, I don't know what allows a running back to have good vision, I guess is my question. Is it Steven talked a little bit yesterday just about being patient and setting up blocks. What makes a running back have that quality?
Yeah, I think that's a good question. It's, you know, kind of probably a hard thing to put into words and define, but I think patience certainly is a key to it, is knowing, you know, when you have time to set blocks up and use the blocking scheme ahead of you to pull defenders one way or the other and cut off them. And when you don't, and you just got to hit it and get through there because there's just not enough time, and that's, you know, an instinctive thing that backs sure learn through experience, and some have better than others. But when you have that ability to have a little bit of space and you have the patience to set up those blocks and, you know, force a defender to declare one way to set the block for the whoever it is, lineman, guard, center, tackle, whoever it is, and then be able to cut off it, then that's, you know, really ideal. Sometimes you just don't have that luxury as a back. You got guys closing in on you, and you just got to, you know, get through there and, you know, run with good pad level and, you know, get what you can. But patience is a, you know, a key to that when used at the right time. You know, we all hate to see the backs that run in there and have patience and then don't gain any yards. You know, you want to get the ball into the line of scrimmage and go. So there's a fine line between, you know, when you have time to do that and when you don't. I thought that the run that Shane had, you know, on the 3rd and 15 play, whatever it was last week, where he, you know, set the block for Connolly. You know, he you know, it would gain 3 or 4 yards there in the linebacker. I think it was Lamar was there coming over the top, and he started outside to take the linebacker outside, set the block for Dan, and then cut up inside and end up going for the first down. You know, I mean, that's, now, those are yards you kind of got to give to the run back, you know, for making that, you know, for making that run happen. He didn't break a tackle, but the way he set the block, you know, gave him an extra 10, 12 yards, whatever it was. So, you know, vision's part of that. Patience is part of that. You know, having an understanding of how to, you know, how to draw the blocker to the, draw the defender to the blocker and then cut off it is, you know, that's all part of it. It's, you know, I don't know where one starts and the other one ends, and they all merge together, but there's, you know, elements in that in terms of running and, you know, using your blockers. Some backs sometimes tend to run away from them, you know, which sometimes that works too, you know. But sometimes you see guys run, you know, they have a blocker, but they run past them and the defender makes a tackle. And if they had, you know, waited a little bit and set it up, but, you know, they have to decide whether they have time enough to do that, or sometimes they think they can beat the guy without the block, so.
Just what have you seen from Stephen Ridley in terms of just development and growth as a player?
I think Stephen's gone a long way in, you know, 3.5 years. You know, certainly his ball security this year has been very good. You know, he's always had real good toughness as a runner. I mean, that's never been a problem. But I think his patience and vision, you know, the run he had on the, you know, play down the sideline was really an inside play that was kind of on paper, is designed to go between the guards, you know, and it ended up bouncing outside and then bouncing outside even further to going down the sideline. So, you know, I'm not sure that that's a run that would have turned out that way for him a couple of years ago. You know, he's, you know, his vision, his confidence, you know, in understanding the entire play, you know, knowing kind of where he, sometimes where you can't go as much as where you can go is important. And, you know, when the Lions thunted in, he had a chance to, you know, get out into a little bit of space and then, you know, eventually get to the edge. You know, it was a good, you know, I mean, those are good runs by backs. You know, it's one thing when there's a hole there and a guy just runs through it and, you know, great. But there's other times when they've got to, you know, have that vision to, you know, pick the soft spot and be able to get positive yardage. So he's done a good job of that.
Bill, talking about Buffalo special teams, Steve Tasker is the first guy that I remember like really standing out or being talked about as kind of a special teams specialist. As important as that role has always been in the game, when did that idea of a guy who really made his forte or made his niche in special teams like that develop?
I'd say probably George Allen. I'm a Dick Vermeil was special teams coach going back to the Redskin days. And that's, you know, I think George, if I'm not mistaken, I don't want to speak out of turn here, but I want to say George was the first coach to employ strictly a special teams coach. When I came into the league, I would say a few teams, maybe a quarter of the teams, if I had to guess, had a true special teams coach, and the rest of them, it was broken up, kind of like it is now with a lot of college teams because they're limited in their staff size, and so you know, you'd have maybe the defensive coaches would have the coverage teams like punt and kickoff, and the offensive coaches would have the return teams like punt return and kickoff return, field goal, you know, the where more of the offensive guys were on, that type of thing. Or maybe it would be one coach on the staff would have, you know, running backs and special teams or whatever. So that was, you know, that was that I came right during that transition period. I wasn't at the beginning of it, but I was still – before everybody had a special teams coach, and also before every team had a snapper, a holder, and a kicker. There were, you know, times where there were some teams there that had guys that played other positions and snapped, and even in a couple cases where you had guys that kicked or punted that also played another position. Less of that, but the snapper was, there weren't very many pure long snappers, you know, in the early to mid-70s. There are a few, but not. And so that was kind of the whole evolution of the coach, the specialists, you know, soccer style kickers. That, you know, that was a, kind of a transitional period there. So, so you know, I'd say Allen had a couple guys like that that were just, you know, really special team players, impact type guys. And then when I was at Baltimore, my first year, you know, I think the we had Howard Stevens, who's like a little 5'5 running back, was the returner. I think the Patriots might have had Mac Heron then, who was another, you know, kind of returner only. And that was the same thing, too. Not every team had a specialized returner. A lot of teams had, you know, position players that also returned. But there was, again, a little bit of a trend towards, you know, using a roster spot for a guy that just returned kicks. So, you know, and those roster spots are pretty special back then because you had, you know, fewer players. So to dedicate one to a snapper or a returner or, you know, I mean, you could really, back in those days, you could really save a spot if you had a guy that could, you know, do both. Which, like we had, at Baltimore with the snapper situation. Mendenhall did PATs, and trying to remember who did field goals. But, you know, there's a lot of guys, the Kuchenbergs and guys like that, that were good players that also snapped, so there was an extra roster spot there if you, you know, if you had a position player that could also double up for you. But, I mean, those days are long gone. We've seen the end of that quite a few years now. So, but I would take it back to Alan. All right. See you in Buffalo.